Enki is the eldest and wisest son of King Anu. He is not King Anu's heir because he is not born of the double seed like Enlil. Enlil's born of Anu and Anu's sister wife. Enki is born of King Anu and Anu's concubine. So he only has the single seed that traces back to King Anu, and therefore cannot be his successor by law of the double seed. Okay, and that's basically Anu's son marrying Anu's daughter. Whether it be the sister or half-sister. Okay, Enki, he is the older brother to Enlil. And again, he's the wisest of the gods that came down to Earth. He's the brother to Ninhursag, full brother. Only half brother to Enlil, full brother to Ninhursag, Bo, and Martu. He's the father to Marnik and Gibel and Ningazina and Dumuzi and many, many others, many daughters, and some more sons. Enki's rank in the royal family, by the royal order, his rank is 40 out of 60. King Anu being 60, Enlil being 50, Enki is 40. His city is Eridu, which is on the Euphrates right by the Persian Gulf, just a little bit up from the Persian Gulf on the Euphrates. Beautiful ziggurat. That's where they lived. All the main ones that were descendants of the king, they had their own ziggurat. Enki is the god over the waters. And there are many artifacts that depict Enki with sprouting waters coming off his body. Sometimes there's fish in the waters, but waters coming off of him, that's a sign of Enki. Enki, being the wisest, he is in possession of the Mies. The Mies is like the encyclopedia for the Anunnaki. It's the gods' how-to, or the gods' what's this. It's all the knowledge needed to start a colony. So it's how to farm, how to make clothes, how to everything. And some definitions as well as what is this. Okay, well, Enki, he came down, he was the first to come to Earth after Alalu escaped to Earth. Alalu kills the king, tries to usurp his power. It backfires on him. Anu becomes king. Alalu is now wanted for murder. He flees to Earth, which is the first time anyone's gone inside the asteroid belt for fear of getting killed. So Alalu found a way through, blasting with the nuclear missile. Enki finds his way through blasting the asteroids with a water cannon, pushing them to the side. He makes a hole and flies through it. He comes down, sees Alalu there on the shore at the Persian Gulf. There are artifacts to that effect. See Alalu's page, but you'll see Inky wearing a fish's suit. Today we'd call it a wetsuit. But Inky wearing a fish's suit coming to shore to greet Alalu. Inky lands on Earth. And he takes a look around. Alalu claimed that gold was on this planet, and that the air is good, the waters are good, food grows on trees, the soil is good. So Inky has to check this out for his father. It sounds too good to be true. So he lands, he looks around, he starts testing things. He gets in his saucer and flies around again, looking for whatever he's needing. And gets back with the Lalu and says, okay, let's call up King Anu and tell him everything's good here. That we need to get some equipment down here, get some people down here, and we'll start gathering gold. So they call Anu, and Anu decides he wants to come take a look too. He comes down, and they try to hatch out a plan. He brings Enlil with him. So Anu, Enlil, and Inky are devising a plan on just what to do to get this gold. So what they decided is they'd split up into three work groups. One group would work the land between the rivers, Euphrates and Tigris, where it's fertile land. And they would set up a home base right there. Enlil's command center would be that would operate in his home, which is in Nippur. Again, along the rivers, Euphrates, I believe that's on. Enlil set up his residence and command center, and they would establish farming there, and everything needed to exist. They would raise animals for slaughter, the sheep and the cows and chickens, and, raise vegetables, establish manufacturing for clothing, just everything they need to exist would be set up under Enlil in the land between the rivers, the Eden, the fertile land, the garden. Inky, and he would be responsible for a group who would gather up the gold that's laying on the surface and then start mining gold in South Africa, where they discovered a large gold mine. Anu would go back to Nibiru and reign as king. So Inky would get the gold ore. He would send it up to Enlil in the Eden, who would smelt the trash off of the ore down to a pure gold and cool that off and once he'd get a shipment of it, he'd have truckers take that gold to Mars, where Inky had his son Martik set up a way station on Mars. And there'd be warehousing there and so forth, and a place to stay. And of course, Alalu is buried there, so the face on Mars, his tomb is there. Anyway, Martik set things up on Mars to where the truckers, called the Igigi, I-G-I-G-I, the Igigi would grab the gold, pure gold, on Earth from Enlil, and fly it to Mars and unload it there and store it. And every 3,600 years of Earth years, Nibiru comes by on the outside of Mars, on the outside of the asteroid belt, and it's a much easier flight to haul a heavy load of gold from Mars to Nibiru than it is from Earth to Nibiru. So they can get bigger loads and go much shorter distance going off of Mars. So that's what Martik was in charge of, with the Igigi and the transportation. Once they haul it to Mars, to Nibiru, they pick up on Nibiru whatever supplies that Inky is calling for. And those supplies would be shipped back down to Earth. So you would see Inky in the mines and in the garden, in the Eden, Martik on Mars, and Anu on Nibiru. There are artifacts of Inky with a flying saucer above him. You'll see a saucer with wings. That would be a flying disc or a flying saucer. The wings only depict that it's flying. If you remove the wings, which is just an addition there, remove that and you've got a disc that's flying in the air. Just as they see today, many people see those flying discs in other forms. Anyway, there are many artifacts with these flying discs. You'll see some with Inky looking at his slideshow. You can stop a slideshow by putting your cursor on the slide. When you do that, the slideshow will stop and a little description will pop up. Okay, so as you start looking at Inky and his slideshow, you'll see waters are depicted flowing from Inky. The water god, obviously depicted with water flowing. There's a drawing of Aquarius next to Inky, and you see it's the same thing. Inky is Aquarius, but the water is flowing. Anyway, as you go down Inky with other gods, you'll see artifacts, some of them with flying saucers in them, some of them not. Here's one with a god in the moon. He's in the sky, in the moon. He's the moon god, by the way. You'll see him depicted with wings. Well, the wings don't only mean that you fly. You'll see Inky again with the waters flowing from him. But there are many scenes here of these artifacts. These scenes, they pertain to an event that a certain text is telling you. So the text and the artifacts, some of them will go together. It's just a scene out of the text. And you can tell some of these things are a stone cylinder that you reverse carve a scene on and then roll that stone cylinder on wet clay, and the reverse carve turns into, flips around, and you've got a frontal view of a scene that you just imprinted on clay. So you've got your first printing right there. And these scenes are complicated, especially reverse carve. Man didn't just all of a sudden know how to do that stuff. If you take a look here, these are done by the gods and then taught to man how to do. Some of them are quite good. Well, you know who did that. Inky as Dagon, that's just simply Inky with the fish's suit. That depicts Inky landing in the Persian Gulf, swimming to shore to meet Alalu. That's all that is, a fish's suit. It's a wetsuit. But anyway, God of Waters, Dagon, wearing the fish's suit. Then keep scrolling down, you'll see some of these texts and artifacts being discovered in the dirt, and then the text organized into a library. And there's some of the texts. I definitely suggest you read some of these, especially the triple and double starred ones. You scroll down some more. You've got Inky and Nengazita assisting the Herzog. This is about Inky. What happened was Inky's in the mines. He's got 300 helping him. Enlil's got 300 helping him in the garden, the Eden, and Marduk's got 300 helping him constructing things on Mars and doing the trucking. So their labor is divided, and after a long period of time, the guys working in the mines under Inky decide they need to be relieved. They got to have a break. They're working straight through for thousands of years and no break. They're tired of it, so they ask Enlil to get some replacement workers. Enlil checks with Anu, and the king says no. And so Enlil tells them no replacement workers. So they say, well, we're really beat. How about we trade with you for a period of time? You come down here, we go up there, and we'll just keep trading after so much time. And Enlil goes, no, we're not going down there. So they get pissed. And they basically march on Enlil. They go to a ziggurat. they march from, you know, the mines in South Africa to Enlil's place in Nippur. And Enlil's informed of it. They're outside, Enlil's a little concerned for his life because these people are mad. They want to overthrow him if they don't get some replacements. So Enlil sees a major problem. He calls for his father, King Anu, to come down and settle it. And Anu gets with his two sons and says, okay, we'll draw straws. So the tall straw goes back to Nibiru as acting king. The medium straw goes to the Eden, and the small straw gets the mines. Okay, they agree. And if Anu fixed it, I don't know. But Anu got the tall straw, he's back to Nibiru. Enlil gets the medium straw, he's back to the garden. Enki stuck with the small straw and back to mining. Well, that's it. These guys just, they're very unhappy with that. So Enki decides, I've got to come up with some kind of worker, some kind of replacements. Maybe I can start experimenting with some animals and come up with some kind of worker. So you see slideshows of Enki trying to develop half this and half that to come up with a worker. You see half bird, half man, half horse, half whatever, you know. They're trying like crazy. You'll also see Enki's friend and vizier. His name is Izamud. You can identify him because he has two faces. One facing north, one facing south. He's always looking behind him, forward and backwards at the same time. So that's Izamud, the two-face god. And you'll see him on some of these artifacts with Enki working in the mines. They're trying to develop a worker breed of animals. And he keeps failing and failing. Working with this, working with that, it just doesn't work out to where they can take commands and execute the commands. It's not working out. The workers get unhappier and unhappier, and Enki's got to come up with something. So he sees Homo erectus walking around in South Africa, and he decides to modify Homo erectus into a worker, to where he gives him a voice box, he gives him the ability to reason, the ability to work and execute commands, understand the commands. He's developed a perfect worker race, and with that worker race, his people can start passing the load of the gods onto the back of man. Enlil catches wind of his worker race, and he says, well, I'll tell you what, your first one, Model Man, or Adapa, or Adam. So Adapa will stay in the garden, and his only job is to multiply, have as many kids as possible. And so that's, they get him a mate, and off they go. He starts producing offspring. The first one goes with Ninurta and learns farming. The second one born goes with the Muzi and learns shepherding the sheep and, you know, keeping the cattle in the fields and the pens and all that stuff. The animals that they eat. He's in charge of keeping that handy and ready to be eaten. Adapa is producing. The worker race is reproducing on its own, and everybody's happy. Inlo's going to take some for the Eden, and Inky's going to have some to relieve the gods in the mines. Everybody seems to calm down a little bit now that they got the worker race. Well, the only problem with that is they developed the female to look very nice. The earthling females start driving the men and the Naki men crazy. And being that they're without women, one time they just break down and they take any of the earthling women they want and turn her into their wives. So the sons of God who came down started having sex with the daughters of man. And when they did that, they produced heroes of old. It's in Genesis 6. Heroes of old, men of renown. These are the first kings. They are mixed breeds between the gods who came down having sex with the daughters of men and having this mixed breed, half god, half man, who is a giant. He was much taller, around 8 to 10 feet. He was much stronger, much faster, totally smarter, and could live a lot longer than the earthling. So this mixed breed had all the advantages over the earthling and was always placed in a position of leadership over the earthlings. So kingship was brought down to earth by Enlil, and these guys are appointed as king. They would appoint another one as high priest. The high priest would be the butler to the god living in the ziggurat, and he would pass God's word on to the people in the city below. The king would pass the laws of God on to the city below, and he would make sure that he's executing those laws. So it's very similar to what you see today. One gives you the laws and the other one should give you freedom of religion. That's of religion, not from religion. That's how man started his history, began right there, and it was Inky who gave it to us. It was Inky and his sister, and then Herzog, and his son, Ningazita, who were involved with the process that took a long time, and then finally he perfected it. And the DNA is a mix between us and them. We don't have much more of theirs, but enough to give us 1 million years of evolution happened overnight. Scientists call it the missing link. How did man evolve so fast? 1 million years with evolving just boom, happened all at once. A man went from caveman to civilized man in cities with schools and kings and armies and, you know, a religious organization. Man had everything that you have in cities today. Jails, criminals, the whole bit. They had back then a startup. That's impossible, but indeed that happened. Just out of nowhere, civilization begins in Sumer, in the land between the rivers, the Eden. And that's the rivers Tigris and Euphrates, and there's two ancient rivers that you can only see from satellite images. One on each side of the Tigris and Euphrates. So originally, it was the land between the four rivers that dumped into the Persian Gulf. That is Mesopotamia, and the first everything comes from Mesopotamia. The first farming, everything comes from there. So, Enki has his friend, Izima, and Enki starts having sex with every woman there. I mean, if you're a goddess, Anunnaki woman, he's having sex with you at one time or another. Enki got around for sure. And then he had a couple mixed breeds. One of them was Noah. And it was Enki and Ningazita that saved Noah. Ningazita saving the animals, gathering their life essence. He didn't gather two of each animal. He gathered the life essence of the animals, which didn't take nearly as much space or food or anything else. You just stored it in a petri dish, which, by the way, to combine their DNA and ours to fashion Adam, the worker, they had to use, instead of their petri dish, they had to make one out of clay. And once they used clay, the admixture would bind, and it worked. The gods reproducing with the daughters of men. Okay. Men, Adam is created this way, and Eve is created this way, so on and so forth. Through modifications. All right, if you scroll down, Enki and then Herzog, first the Anunnaki went on strike, then Enki starts experimenting, then Enki develops man. And that's how it all began. You can trace it right back to Enki. I definitely recommend you read these texts. You'll learn about it. It's mentioned in a few of these texts. Also, Enki and Ningazita saving Noah from Enlil. It's Enlil because of there's so many mixed breeds and so many crazy animals running around thanks to Enki and his DNA experiments everywhere. Enlil's had it, and he's pissed. So he wants them all dead. He wants to get rid of everything and knock it back down to just the Anunnaki on Earth. So he condemns everybody to death and decides he's going to grab an asteroid and throw it down into the sea, create a tidal wave that'll flood out the Earth. And so he does it. And Inky was supposed to keep his mouth shut, and everybody was supposed to keep it quiet so none of the Earthlings would find out about it. Well, Inky decided he would save his own blood. His bloodline on Earth is through Noah. He decided to save Noah. And that's what he did. Noah, his family, and a few friends were saved. And when the flood starts to subside and Noah leaves the boat, he has a barbecue to offer to the gods, as an offering. And sacrifices an animal, starts barbecuing it. Enlil smells cooking. He comes down, discovers that Noah is there and Inky is there. Ningazita is there, and Enlil is pissed. He says to Inky, "What are you doing here? This guy's supposed to be drowned." Inky turned to Enlil and said, "Well, who's going to do the work now? I mean, you killed everybody, all the workers. Who's going to do the work?" So Enlil goes, "Oh, okay." So they split up, Noah's sons, and started repopulating Earth. And, I get one, you get one, he gets one, and let's get populating so we can get our worker race back. And that was saved by Inky. Fashioned by Inky in the first place, saved from Enlil by Inky. Inky has been man's friend from the beginning. Enlil, not so much. So for those of you who read the Bible, and it seems to you that there's two types of God. I mean, there's a punishing God and there's a loving God. It doesn't seem to be the same guy. I mean, one of them's got a terrible punishing way about him. Tells the Jews to kill every living thing in a certain town. Go in there and kill every man, woman, and child, and every animal. Kill everything that breathes. I mean, that's just, going a little far. But anyway, it seems that one of them doesn't much care about life and uses the Earthling to war and so forth, and to work and die without much care given to the Earthling. And but on the other side, you've got Inky being the good guy with the Earthling, and so you've got a loving nature God and you've got a punishing nature God, and we're told it's all one God. In the Bible, they got rid of the multiple gods and made it just one God. Well, there are multiple Anunnaki who came down. And because they live so long and they're so big and strong and smart and, seem to be immortal, they are gods. Also, because of what Inky did, they are our God. I mean, we owe it all to them. We look just like them because Inky gave us their image and their likeness. So there you have it. It all comes from Inky, and he's a very important character to know and understand. So I'd read as much of these texts, and you know, you might read each one 12 times. I'm sure I have. But just read and reread, and you'll start to get the picture. And once you do, everything starts to make sense. How did the waters part? How did food drop out from the sky to keep the Jews alive as they were lost in the desert? How did they get water from a rock? How did they do this stuff? How did all these miracles happen? Well, if you look at it through a flying saucer's eyes, you can see how all of it happened. And if you go to ancient astronauts and you go to Christian paintings, you'll see again the flying saucer all throughout history, depicted in the Christian paintings. Okay.